There is a special enjoyment in having something new without flaws, damage, or defects. The words of God in Revelation 21, 1 through 5 say, "I am making everything new." These words are used in a sermon topic on this week's program from Words of Life. Our speaker is Brother David Johnson, the minister of the Sellersburg, Indiana Church of Christ. Words of Life is sponsored by the prayers and contributions of Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who want you to know about Jesus. As you listen today, please think about how the sermon words apply to your life. We now worship our Lord with song.
Worship Him, Christ.
Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are God and that your word is true. Please be with each of our listeners and give them the health and peace that they desire. We pray that the great gospel message will be shared freely throughout the world for souls to be reached for you. Especially be with each one who is persecuted because they love you. And as we close this prayer, we ask that we will each be found ready for the promised return of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Brother David Johnson will use the words given in Revelation 21, 1 through 5 as his sermon topic today. I make everything new.
It's wonderful to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is, I am making everything new. And the primary text is taken from the New Testament, the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. A glorious passage, which says, Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. This is the Word of God. Many years ago, our family visited New Harmony, Indiana, today a quiet town in Posey County in southwest Indiana in the United States. During the 1820s, it was a social experiment. Robert Owen, a wealthy social reformer, strived to attract residents with the promise of an earthly utopia or perfected society. The social order was based on community ownership, the equality of work and profit. The experiment in community living made New Harmony famous in its day. Social reformers, scientists, and other scholars flocked to the town. But few of the residents really understood the principles of the new social order. So soon, they split into several competing factions. In just about 2 years after the new communal society began, it utterly failed. Many have tried to build a utopia on earth. Utopia is the name commonly given to an imaginary land where everything is supposed to be perfect. The term utopia comes from the Greek words meaning no place. And in fact, since God created the earth and mankind, and after sin came into the world, the sin nature plagued mankind. No place, no utopia on earth has succeeded, and it won't until the Lord causes it to come about. People now apply the word utopian to plans of reform that are considered purely visionary in the abstract and impractical, even impossible, because they are, from a human standpoint. Imperfect human beings can never create a perfect new order. It's impossible. But with Almighty God, all things are possible according to His will and timetable. Bible-believing Christians know that this woefully imperfect world, with all of its defects, will one day end, according to Scripture. As believers, we long to see God, for God to dwell with us in a perfect place, with zero defects or deficiencies into eternity. A new heaven and a new earth is not a pipe dream for the true believer. It's not thought of as just some sort of abstract state of spiritual consciousness. Scripture affirms that all faithful believers will one day begin to experience perfection physically, socially, and spiritually, and in every way that we can now only begin to fully grasp. Let's delve deeper into this reality to come in our primary text, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. After God disposes of all ungodly men and angels forever, and the present universe is destroyed, God will create a new order, not restored, but brand new for the redeemed, for God's holy angels, and God to dwell together with all into eternity. A new heaven and a new earth is actually derived from ancient prophecies in the Old Testament. God declared in Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 17, "Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind." Consider also Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 22. "As the new heavens and the new earth that I make will endure before me, declares the Lord." What Isaiah predicted, inspired by the Holy Spirit, became reality in the Apostle John's vision of the far future as he recorded it in the book of Revelation. The original Greek word translated new does not mean new in a chronological or time sense, but new in a qualitative sense. That is, brand new, pristine, pure, fresh, never seen before. The first hint of this completely new order is, quote, "there was no longer any sea," end quote. That's a startling change from the present earth, which is nearly three-fourths covered with oceans and seas. That is, covered by water. The sea is emblematic of our present water-based environment. The new heaven and new earth, evidently, will be based on a radically different life principle. Without the seas, there can be no hydrological cycle, so that every feature of life and climate will be dramatically different, at least as we now know it. Some Bible scholars interpret that the absence of the sea is actually symbolic of the absence of evil. The sea, especially to the Hebrew mindset, represented disorder, violence, or unrest that marks the old creation. It is not that the sea is evil in itself, but that its aspect is one of hostility to mankind. For example, it was the sea that stood guard over the Apostle John on the island of Patmos and separated him from the churches on the mainland of Asia, the province of Asia. The sea is thus the first of seven evils that John says will no longer exist, also including death, mourning, crying, or pain, Revelation 21, verse 4, the curse, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 3, and night, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 5. John continues to reveal his vision of the future, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 2. "I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband." The main point of its descent from God, from heaven, is that the city is from God, not by any human abilities. Jewish people regularly call Jerusalem by the title the Holy City. God therefore renews the holy city previously defiled. The city is pictured as a bride because it contains the bride, the church, perhaps all the redeemed, and emphasizes her glorified, perfect character at this point in the consummation into eternity. The Apostle John not only experienced this vision visually, but also experienced it audibly. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 3. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." That is, no longer will God be far off. No longer will he appear only in a cloud or a pillar of fire or inside the Holy of Holies. The amazing reality will come to pass. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." How can this be, since according to John chapter 4 and verse 24, God is spirit? We will see God because our eyes will be marvelously glorified also. The holy angels can see God. So will all the glorified saints whose hearts are also finally, perfectly pure in his presence. 17th century Puritan Richard Baxter describes the intimate fellowship believers will enjoy with God. Quote, "Doubtless, as God advances our senses and enlargeth our capacity, so will he advance the happiness of those senses and fill up with himself all that capacity. We shall then have enlightened understandings without scripture, and be governed without a written law. For the Lord will perfect his law in our hearts, and we shall be all perfectly taught of God. We shall have joy which we drew not from the promises, nor fetched home by faith or hope. We shall have communion without sacraments. To have necessity supplied by means of the creatures is the case of us on earth. To have necessity supplied immediately from God is the case of the saints in heaven. To have no necessity at all is the prerogative of God himself." End of quote. Next, the Apostle John hears words so very anticipated and yearned for by mankind. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." That is, the new order will be so dramatically different from the present world that to describe it emphatically requires the use of negatives set positively. "Will wipe every tear from their eyes" does not mean people will be crying and God will comfort them. What this phrase declares is the absence of anything to be sorry or sad or disappointed about. No tears of misfortune of any kind, no tears over lost love, no tears of remorse nor regret, or for any reason whatsoever. Imagine no more death, which is the greatest curse of the human experience with all of its attendant sufferings and sorrow. The grief, sorrow, and distress are what produce the mourning and crying which will not exist ever again in the new heaven and the new earth. Perfect holiness with the absence of sin will mean also that there will be no more pain of any kind, physical, mental, or emotional, nor spiritual. None, nada, niet. The old order is permanently past. Then comes the summary statement, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 5. "He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Everything new means no entropy, no atrophy, no decay, no decline, no pollution physically, mentally, nor physically ever again. The new harmony by mankind was a utter failure after only 2 years. The new heaven and new earth by God, by Almighty God, will be a fabulously, radically new world order, new order, whereby everything is new. Not a social experiment, but a supernatural eventuality guaranteed by an omnipotent, omniscient, that is, all-powerful, all-knowing God. There will never be competing factions. Finally, eternally, God, with His holy angels and all of God's people, will live together in perfect, well, harmony. A new harmony, a real new harmony, on a new earth. Let our minds dwell on these things from above when things here below get so very discouraging. And not incidentally, a passage to the new heaven and new earth and new Jerusalem is only in a personal saving relationship with Jesus Christ, to be in Christ Jesus through saving faith. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Are you in Christ Jesus? Have you been baptized into Christ Jesus? So you must, in order to experience that which God alone can bring to pass.
There's a garden where Jesus is waiting. There's a place that is wondrously fair, for it glows with the light of His presence. 'Tis the beautiful garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden, the garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden of prayer. There my Savior awaits, and He opens the gate to the beautiful garden of prayer. There's a garden where Jesus is waiting, and I go with my burden and care, just to learn from His lips words of comfort in the beautiful garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden, the garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden of prayer. There my Savior awaits, and He opens the beautiful garden of prayer. There's a garden where Jesus is waiting. Oh, can aught with His glory compare? Just to walk and to talk with my Savior in the beautiful garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden, the garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden of prayer. Savior awaits, and He opens the gates to the beautiful garden of prayer.
God's Word and His promises are a sure blessing for us. We appreciate you for listening. Likewise, we are grateful for your comments and questions. To have a free CD of this and last week's program to listen to again or share with someone else, simply write to us and request broadcast number 2318. That's 2318. Thank you, and God bless you. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.
Sing the-